Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the update on Umicore's performance in the third quarter of 2012. None of you will need me to explain that the economic situation around the world is weaker today than it was when we presented our first half results back in late July. I must say this is true of most industrial sectors. Visibility with regards to customer ordering has also somewhat decreased in recent months. Umicore revenues in the third quarter increased by 2% year-on-year, which in itself is a satisfactory performance overall, given the current economic backdrop. The economic headwinds that were visible 3 to 6 months ago have become more pronounced and have dampened the revenue growth. The most significant impact has been felt by our performance materials businesses, where we have a high degree of exposure to some of the harder hit sectors, in particular construction, and was also felt in the majority of the energy materials activities, with the notable exception of rechargeable battery materials. Catalysis remained resilient overall, with our North American and Asian automotive catalyst operations continuing to grow. The situation in the European automotive industry, in contrast, is much less encouraging, I must say, with negative volume and product mix effects that have impacted the revenues of automotive catalysts. The story in recycling remains very positive as the business continues to benefit from excellent availability of supply combined with the protection offered by our long-term pricing approach. I will talk later on about some of the steps we have taken to adjust our production footprint to market demand, and although this is nothing out of the ordinary, I must say that we will continue to examine our cost base with the necessary scrutiny given the current economic backdrop. Despite the current market situation, which is far from rosy, we remain firmly committed to our long-term growth strategy. We announced today three further growth initiatives and investments in recycling and energy materials, and our balance sheet and cash flow generation place us in a very strong position to stay the strategic course, and that has been the case for a number of years. Before we look at the business evolution in more detail, let me comment on the outlook for the remainder of the year. The more challenging market conditions are expected to persist in most of the end markets in performance materials and energy materials. In the latter, the weight of the startup and depreciation costs of new investments in rechargeable battery materials is gradually being compensated by the ramp-up in revenues, but this is not yet enough to change the profitability picture in the business group overall, and the downturn that we observe now in electro-optic materials and thin film products is hurting the bottom line. In catalysis, we will continue to feel the effects of the slowdown in the European automotive sector, and in recycling, supply conditions and profitability are expected to remain strong in the fourth quarter. Overall, then, we still think that we can come in with a full-year recurring EBIT that is within the implied range that we gave back in July, so between 370 and 390 million euro. And based on the current trends, though, I should add that we are more likely to be at the low end of that range. From a cash flow perspective, this corresponds to, or should correspond to, a recurring EBITDA in excess of half a billion euro for 2012, which, again, in the current context, I would qualify as a good or very good performance. We can now turn to the evolution in the different business groups and start with catalysis. Overall, revenues of the business groups were up by 3%. In automotive catalysts, the revenue growth was pretty much in line with the levels seen in global car production, so around 2%. The main growth areas were North America, where our sales outpaced the market, and Asia, where our sales grew in line with the market. In contrast, the European market shrunk by 8% year-on-year, and the share in European production of diesel-powered cars fell by some 2%. As you know, diesel cars tend to require more complex and higher value-added catalysts, so that has somewhat of an impact on the product mix. And indeed, while our revenues in the region were less affected than the market, there has obviously been a negative impact both from the volumes and the product mix change, as I alluded to a minute ago, and therefore an impact on profitability for us in Europe. The precious metals chemistry business performed well during the quarter, and this was due primarily to the increase in sales of catalysts used in life science applications. In energy materials, revenues were up by 8%. This was because of further significant increases in the sales volumes of rechargeable battery materials and, to a lesser extent, higher recycling volumes, for cobalt and nickel. Demand continued to grow strongly for high-density lithium cobalt materials that are used in the batteries of new generation tablet computers and smartphones. Sales of tablets, which are set to reach well over 100 million units in 2012, which is some 60% higher than the levels seen in 2011, the sales of tablets have become an important factor in our product mix. Deliveries of materials for other applications, such as lower-end portable electronics and automotive applications, were rather subdued. This may be due in part to inventory management across the supply chain. Anyways, it is typical in such a new market, and I'm talking now about automotive in particular, it is typical that the ordering patterns would be somewhat erratic, and the uptake of volumes tends to vary quite a lot from one quarter to the next. And this being said, the longer-term picture remains unchanged. Elsewhere in energy materials, we see a less robust picture from a volume and profitability point of view. Sales in almost all product categories were lower in cobalt and specialty materials due to a lower demand in sectors such as tire manufacturing and industrial tools. We did record a higher throughput of materials in cobalt and nickel recycling and refining activities, but lower metal prices impacted margins in these activities. In electro-optic materials, sales volumes were lower in two of the bigger product groups, that is germanium blanks for optical applications and substrates used on satellites as well as concentrator photovoltaics. Sales in some of the other smaller niches did show a positive evolution, such as finished optics and germanium tetrachloride, the latter being used in fiber optic networks. In thin film products, revenues were also down year on year, and this was mainly due to manufacturers of flat screen televisions and other types of displays postponing their investments and therefore ordering much less material. The contribution from rechargeable battery materials is growing as revenues do ramp up, and this is despite significant additional depreciation charges and startup costs. However, the downturn that is affecting the other units of energy materials, and in particular electro-optics and thin film products, has a material impact on the bottom line of the entire business group, which unfortunately is somewhat overshadowing the progress realized in rechargeable battery materials. As I mentioned at the start of the call, the business group that felt the most significant impact of the economic slowdown was performance materials, where revenues were down 9% year on year. The decline in activity in the construction sector was a major factor, notably in Europe. In our building products business, this effect was particularly acute in Germany and some of the overseas markets, such as the U.S., while other traditional markets such as France and the Benelux were flat year-on-year. The situation in the construction sector also played a role in the lower revenues recorded in technical materials, where we make products that are used in circuit breakers, heating, ventilating, and cooling systems, all of which find an end use in commercial, residential, and industrial buildings. In zinc chemicals, we saw a positive evolution in the sales volumes of the fine zinc powders, which was more than offset by the effects of lower demand for zinc oxides. Overall demand levels were lower for the main zinc oxide applications, such as ceramic and tire production. Level of supplies of zinc residues for the recycling operations was stable. In electroplating, we were able to generate revenue growth through the successful introduction of new products, and in particular, those that offer lower precious metals loadings and therefore lower costs to our customers. In platinum engineered materials, we felt similar effects to the thin film products business, with the delayed investments at high purity glass manufacturers leading to reductions in sales of glass manufacturing equipment. In recycling, revenues were up by 8%, and the main story there is that the supply environment continues to be very supportive, with high levels of availability of industrial residues, electronic scrap, and spent industrial catalysts. The only supply source where availability remains somewhat subdued is spent automotive catalysts, and this despite somewhat higher PGM prices during the quarter. You will have remarked that the spot price of some of the precious metals that we recover in the recycling business group has increased in the past few months, while the prices of specialty metals have not recovered from the low levels seen in the first part of the year. In the jewelry and industrial metals activities, revenues were lower than the particularly strong levels we recorded back in 2011. The main reason for this was the indirect effect of the high silver price. The higher price has played a role in lower consumer demand for fashion jewelry and reduced also use of silver in coins. Sales of silver-based materials for photovoltaic applications were also lower. The levels of recycling activities for gold, silver, and platinum residues remained at similar levels to those of 2011. In precious metals management, operations recorded lower revenues as demand for physical deliveries of metal was somewhat lower than in 2011, and the trading environment was also a little bit less favorable than a year ago. Finally, and I will now address the battery recycling initiative. As some of you will have seen earlier in the summer, Umicore was selected by Toyota Motors Europe as the partner for recycling the lithium-ion batteries for the new generation of Prius cars. While industrial-scale business is still a number of years away, this business award underlines once again the potential and customer interest in our unique battery recycling technology. Given the evolution of some of the end markets that we serve, we have decided to adapt our production footprint in certain parts of the business, and you will possibly recall that we had suspended production at the Foshan recycling facility in China earlier in the year, and we have now taken the decision to close the installation as the market has not developed sufficiently to justify a continued presence there. In thin film products, we have decided to focus our efforts in the PV sector exclusively on indium tin oxide, and we will therefore close the production of aluminium zinc oxide products at the Balzers plant in Liechtenstein. In addition to these two measures, I would like also to report that the management of Element 6 Abrasives, the joint venture in which we have a 40% stake, has recently announced the closure of carbide production at the facility in Springs in South Africa. As those of you that followed us through the downturn of 2008-2009 will recall, we do have a philosophy of approaching cost adjustments in a measured and selective way that does not jeopardize our growth prospects. So you should not expect from us uniform cost-cutting measures across the board. But this being said, given the economic backdrop, we will continue to take decisive and selective action in any area where our production footprint and cost base may be out of step with the market evolution. While cost control will, as always, remain high on the agenda, we are fully committed and remain committed to our long-term growth strategy. We have, in that respect, decided on three new investments which illustrate this commitment and should contribute to our growth ambitions. The first one is an investment in the cobalt powder production installations at our plant in Olen in Belgium, an investment that will enable us to increase throughput and also drive further improvement to the environmental performance of the plant. We have also decided to invest in additional capacity for cathode materials in China to be installed at our majority-owned joint venture site in Jiangmen. And this investment will be particularly important in order for us to keep pace with customer demand in the Chinese rechargeable lithium-ion battery market. Finally, we have decided to increase our silver recycling and refining capacity in Pforzheim in Germany, an investment that comes on top of the already announced silver recycling expansion in Thailand, and which will provide even greater flexibility and service to our industrial customers. As you will recall, we have a number of other investments that are in progress in all of our business groups and in different markets, and suffice to say at this stage that all of these are progressing according to plan. Our strong balance sheet and cash flow generation give us resilience through the cycle, and we will continue making the necessary investments in pursuit of our long-term ambitions, even if the short-term economic picture is somewhat less supportive. With that, perhaps I would like now to open the line to you and any questions or comments that you have.
Thank you, Mr. Grinberg. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question, and we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. And we'll take our first question from Dominic Frauendienst from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I've got three questions. Mark, you've already addressed the, or basically you noted that we shouldn't expect a broad-based cost-cutting program, but do you think, given the current environment we're in, the likelihood of a more comprehensive program is likely? And if so, basically the magnitude of such a program, if you could elaborate on that. Secondly, you've already highlighted the adjustments you have made to the production footprint. Does this mean also that you might consider completely exiting certain businesses such as photovoltaic, for instance? We have, for instance, seen Siemens selling their photovoltaic operation, so they decided to exit this. Is that something you could see happening next year maybe? And lastly, with the recovery in the PGM prices, have you seen since, since the end of the third quarter, an uptick in recycling volumes for spent automotive catalysts, for instance? Thank you.
Okay, let me start with the question about cost, and I can only repeat that our philosophy and approach is to address cost in a selective and measured way. And by selective, I mean that you should not expect a comprehensive program that cuts costs across the board. We will continue to address those business areas or sites or regions that are hit by the downturn and where we need to reduce costs in order to mitigate the effects of the downturn in revenues. So you should not expect, I would say, a comprehensive program. We will continue to address the situation with selective measures, and we have a number of those that are under review for the time being. As far as the magnitude is concerned, you should not expect anything of the magnitude that we had back in 2008-2009, because the situation is very different today, and you see also that with the results that we're producing and the forecast that we are providing, the volumes remain fairly good in a way. So we are not seeing like or unlike in 2008-2009 volumes dropping overnight by a significant factor. So the cost adjustments that need to be made are somewhat more subtle than what needed to be done 4 years ago or so. Will we consider exiting a full business such as PV altogether? This is not on the agenda. And I would say that you also have to take into account, and now I'm using the example of PV, that some of the materials that we are producing for the PV sector have also a significant end use in other applications. For instance, the rotary ITO targets are being used for coatings in architectural glass, in LCD displays, and in PV. So it wouldn't make a lot of sense for that business in particular to exit one of the segments, because you would lose the synergies that exist in the business unit as we address all three segments together. So we have a number of these situations which basically may not make it meaningful to exit either a full business or exit a full end-user segment. So it's not on the agenda today, and we'll continue to mitigate the effects of the downturn in a similar way as we have done for the past few months now, rather than changing drastically the course of action. Now, coming to your last question about the PGM recovery and the uptake of spent catalysts, there are two aspects to that question, and let me start with the easy one. We have not seen an increased availability of spent automotive catalysts in the market for recycling. So that's, I would say, a fairly straightforward answer. Now, the other aspect is that, I've not observed a very clear recovery in PGM prices, in the sense that basically PGM prices are still lower than they were a year ago. If we look at the evolution of PGM prices, platinum, for instance, was above $1,700 an ounce for the better part of 2011, and is now at about $1,600. So it depends on, you can talk of a recovery or not, depending on what the starting point is and what benchmark value you do use. The same is valid for palladium, which has been trading above $700 an ounce for the better part of last year, and is now at about to $620 an ounce. Not to mention rhodium, which is much lower than a year ago. So I would say we have seen a little spike and a short-lived spike in PGM prices due to the unrest in South Africa and the strikes that have affected the PGM industry there. But I think it's probably too little and was too short-lived to talk about the true recovery.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
And we'll take our next question from Rhiannon O'Connor from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. I'm going to do three as well, if I can. First of all, just a strictly numbers question. You've added the 500 million EBITDA guidance, or 500 million, more than 500 million EBITDA guidance into this statement. Taking the lower end of your range and the lower range of that EBITDA guidance, that implies depreciation of around 130 million for the year, and that would imply a decrease in depreciation in the second half, which is obviously against your usual seasonality. Am I to take it by that EBITDA of more than 500 million, you mean substantially more than 500 million, or are we looking to for a decrease in depreciation? That's the first question. Sorry, a bit complex. The second question, you state that visibility has gone down across a number of your businesses. Is that true of recycling? You used to have a six-month order book in that business. Has visibility in your recycling business gone down as well? And then the third question on battery materials, I was pleased to see the growth there. Can you talk a little bit about the pricing development, or is it a mix effect because you have a higher share in the high-end portable electronics? What's driving a kind of improvement in that business? Thank you.
Let me first clarify the EBITDA guidance. So it was not the purpose to guide to a lower depreciation. This is not the case. So your interpretation is right. The guidance means indeed that we will be well above 500 million in EBITDA. So the depreciation, as we mentioned earlier this year, is going to be closer to 150 million. Than the 130-some million that we had in the past. The visibility in the recycling has not changed, so it remains fairly good and remains in line with the kind of visibility that we had in the past, so indeed some 6 months ahead. And so the that allows us to remain indeed very confident about the supply availability and the overall performance in the short to midterm. The only thing which remains the an unknown factor there in the short or midterm is the evolution of metal prices for those metals that cannot be hedged, and in particular some of the specialty metals that we recover as part of our recycling operations. Now coming to the rechargeable battery materials related question. The main effect that we see in terms of contribution are volume driven in a way, as we continue to ramp up volumes and continue to ramp up capacity from the new investments. And that is probably going to be a feature for the foreseeable future indeed. I mean, there are a number of pricing effects from 1 month to the other, or 1 quarter to the other, depending on what materials are being in the higher demand, etc. But it's hard to extrapolate based on the short-term data. I would say that in the midterm, the picture is really mostly influenced by the volume evolution.
And do you think you're gaining market share, or do you think the whole market's growing as fast as you?
Again, difficult to interpret from quarterly data, and I mean, it is not necessarily the purpose to gain market share. The market share should be the result of our technical excellence and winning platforms based on superior technology. So I'm not against it, but it's not if it's the result of us operating well and developing the best products. But it's not the sole objective in itself.
Okay, thank you very much for a good answer.
And we'll take our next question from Philip DePau from ING. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Two questions from my side, both of them on the catalysis business. The first one is actually a follow-up on the question on the visibility. Has visibility in the catalysis business reduced? Because I understood from previous calls that visibility there was about 2 to 3 months, so I wonder if that has gone down dramatically. And the second question is on the trends in Latin America. I think that's a bit different from the rest of the world, where your sales growth is below the market. Could you elaborate a bit on the underlying trends, why you're growing below the market in Latin America?
Visibility in catalysis has not changed fundamentally. So Well, actually, to be clear, I should say that, or I should clarify that visibility is lower in performance materials and energy materials, which you will have inferred from the previous comments. If visibility in catalysis and recycling is by and large unchanged. No, indeed, you're right. We have some 2 to 3 months of visibility based on the the call-offs from the customers. Indeed. And longer-term visibility beyond these 2 to 3 months is as reduced in a way, because there we're working with the customers' production plans and forecasts, and you know that those tend to be adjusted regularly. But nowadays, indeed, the visibility beyond the call-offs is somewhat less good than it used to be, so the adjustments can be somewhat of a larger amplitude than they use than they used to be. The trend in South America, again, there nothing particular to be extrapolated from quarterly data. There are quarters where we perform better than the market, and some quarters where the development is somewhat less favorable. Based on what we see, our position there is fairly stable in terms of market share, so there is nothing particular to report in that respect. In the first part of the year, the reading was complicated by the fact that the market was down due to, I would say, less more limited availability of financing for end consumers. But again, I would say nothing particular to extrapolate from quarterly data.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Adam Collins from Liberum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi everybody. I've got three questions. Firstly, how important are South African mining and refining volumes to the recycling business? I'm asking that in light of the disruption to activity levels that we've seen lately. So just an idea of how important that is to the recycling business. Second question relates to the energy material side. I was surprised by a couple of the points that you made. Firstly, sharply lower CPV in the period. And then secondly, you seem to be suggesting that there's some short-term dislocation occurring in the auto battery materials business. I wondered if you could flesh out the main dynamics that are affecting those two. And then finally, on your point about realigning the business, I understand that you're saying that that's going to be balanced as before and that the volume contraction isn't as sharp as we saw last time. But I wondered if you could just talk a little bit about the geographic footprint that you've got. There's quite a lot of concern that we've got a significant overcapacity in light vehicle production in Europe, 18 million units of production and maybe 13 million of sales suggest that we're going to see some shutdowns of factories in the next few years, maybe as many as 10 auto plants closing. And we know that your business is quite heavily weighted in terms of its geographic footprint to Europe. Are you comfortable with a scenario where European production volumes may be subdued for several years given that footprint? That's the question. Thanks.
Okay, so let me start with the last question. We do not have a particular problem with the footprint or the production capacity distribution in automotive catalysts, because we are in a mode of expanding capacity because of the I would say the fact that new legislation is coming up, like Europe require new capacity. Anyway, and we have had a tendency of being very disciplined, adding capacity of the business anyways. Mm-hmm. So I would say a somewhat subdued European market or subdued European demand or production for a number of years is something that not cause a major disruption to our plan in terms of where we put up the capacity in the business in a way. And you will recall that like in some of the energy materials businesses, capacity additions and capacity investment in automotive catalysts are fairly modular. So that can be adjusted, I would say, not instantaneously, but fairly rapidly to changing market conditions in one region or another. So not a particular concern in a way in terms of positioning, and at the same time we continue to adjust the cost and the capabilities constantly in function of demand, new legislation, new products, etc., and I would say the situation of the market. But I wouldn't say that we have an imbalanced footprint. We have, the capabilities that we need to have them, and that will be the case for the short to medium term. Then regarding energy materials, yes, CPV is sharply down. If you compare that to 2010-2011, when the business started to take off, in the turmoil in the PV market in the last 12 to 18 months, with I would say Chinese-based panels flooding, that has created indeed a fairly complicated market situation for alternative technologies such as thin film-based photovoltaics or a concentrator photovoltaic, and indeed the demand down very much so. So that's the reality, and that's a correct reading. And then talking about the demand of rechargeable battery materials for automotive application, I wouldn't talk of application. I would just I would say the demand is as volatile as you would typically see in an emerging business, in an emerging application, and we expect to be so in the next few quarters. Now, there is maybe one effect that plays on top of the what you read in the papers about the low uptake of electrified vehicles. That's the fact that we see our customers managing their inventories very tightly, and I cannot exclude that there was a little bit of excess buying and maybe production the first part of the year, and that this is being corrected now, and you will probably see this kind of swings in the next few quarters. Again, this is not yet a mature business, so I would say that there is nothing out of the ordinary in that respect. The picture in the medium to long term, as far as we see it, remains unchanged, and that's why we continue to invest in that capacity, as we have just announced now with the further expansion in China, of production capacity in China. And then coming to your first question about the importance of South Africa in terms of volumes of supply volumes for the recycling business. This is indeed an important source of residues for us, as you would expect. A very large PGM mining and smelting industry country that produces a number of residues, and some of them are residues that we source and that we have contracted with some of the key players in South Africa. So it is important to us. But I would say, for the time being, we don't see major disruptions in the flow of supplies, on one hand. And on the other hand, I would like to remind you that we are working at full capacity and are continuously turning away materials because we don't have sufficient capacity to process or to treat everything that is being offered to us. So I have no doubt that should there be a disruption in South African supply, that these volumes are substituted by alternative materials.
Very clear. Okay. Thank you, Mark.
And we'll take our next question from Tony Jones from Redburn. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. Firstly, battery materials. Are you still seeing price pressure, or after this being an ongoing issue, is this now flat against a much easier comp? And then on your balance sheet, I note that there's not really a lot of leverage on it, and I wanted to ask, how are you going to use that really over the next year or so? Should we imply that you might be looking to make more acquisitions, or is there going to be significant CapEx expansion, or are you going to opt to return capital back to shareholders? And then finally, on your refining capacity, after the investments in growth, things like new assaying, could you provide a sense of what volume or mix opportunity there might be in the next year or so, which might help offset weak trading in some of the other businesses? Thank you.
Let me start with the price situation in the battery materials. I'm afraid that price pressure is never going to be a thing of the past in this type of business. It is a business where technology improvements are also aiming at reducing the cost to the customer. It is important for us to be able to help our customers address the cost challenge of lithium-ion rechargeable battery material of rechargeable batteries, if those are to be successful in automotive applications. So it's part of the game, and it's partly being addressed by technology improvements, which actually enable us to reduce the material cost to the customer. But on the other side, I would expect there will continue to be a price pressure. And that's why, of course, it is important for us also to have volume gains on one side to optimize our product mix, and also to make sure that our process improvements enable us to improve productivity at the same time. We are active in businesses which are competitive in nature, and where pricing is one of the elements on which we compete. Balance sheet leverage is indeed very low, clearly so, and we continue to generate positive cash flows. How we're going to use them, the cash flows and the strength of the balance sheet? Well, clearly we have a very significant CapEx program ahead of us in battery materials, in catalysis, in recycling, as we are expanding fairly rapidly to address new market opportunities and emerging new applications there. So that's one part of how we're going to use the cash flows. But clearly, we will continue to generate more cash flow than our CapEx program will require. So part of the cash flows will continue to be utilized to return cash to the shareholders, certainly in the form of dividends. You know that we have a policy of paying out stable or increasing dividends. So that's one commitment that we have to the shareholders in terms of how we use the cash. I would say that a buyback program is likely not going to be on the agenda in the short term, given the economic uncertainties. I mean, we are probably entering times where cash preservation will be preferred by the board over and above cash return and the dividend payment or the dividend policy being what it is. We have no intention of scaling back the dividend at any point in time. And, of course, this should leave us with quite some room and balance sheet strength to pursue M&A deals if we find adequate opportunities in the market, adequate being opportunities that make sense from a strategic point of view and that make sense from a valuation point of view. We haven't seen much of that combination in the past couple of years, but that doesn't mean that we are inactive. We continue to look at a certain number of options and projects, and clearly having a strong balance sheet gives us the necessary comfort that we can indeed look at these projects. Then your last question about the opportunities in recycling, I think it's too early to quantify the size of new business that can be pursued in recycling once some of the investments that are in progress now will have been completed. We'll comment about that in due time and possibly in the course of next year.
Thanks very much, Mark.
We'll take our next question from Geoff Haire from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking the question. Just a quick question on platinum use. Could you give some idea of the percentage of sales or trends of platinum use coming from recycling and mines, if possible?
Yeah, I will actually not isolate platinum, but I would say that if we look at our precious metals requirements overall and looking at the entire precious metals basket, about half of our requirements comes from in-house recycling and the other half by default from external purchases.
Thank you very much.
We'll take our next question from Dennis Lapadatu from Kempen. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have two additional questions. First of all, related to the catalyst business, I was wondering how you see the market developing next year because, for instance, IHS is forecasting a flattish market globally, only a 1.5% growth. And secondly, also on catalysts in Japan, you started a new joint venture earlier this summer to focus on Japanese producers. And again, forecasts in that area are penciling in a 9% decline. How much do you think that could impact you? And thirdly, on the recycling business, I noticed that you mentioned during the summer that you have not been hedging your exposure to PGMs when the metal prices were depressed. I was wondering if you can give us some flavor about what percentage of the recycling the PGM prices in recycling are hedged for next year.
Let me start with the second question because you're right in saying that repeating some of the comments that I made in the summer about the fact that we're not hedging at the time because the prices were in a downward curve, but also said at the time that we were already pretty well hedged into 2013 for several of the precious metals. So the situation is unchanged. In a way, we are already quite a bit hedged into 2013. Catalysis for next year and the impact of I would say auto production. Well, it's difficult to have I would say a reliable view about what auto production is going to be next year. We expect continued sluggish demand in the European market and continued growth in North America and in Asia that should indeed offset the weakness in the European market. But again, I think it's probably a bit too early to tell. And we'll probably have a better picture in the first part, in the early part of next year. But I don't have any different set of data than the one that you have, that you are using as a forecast for the production of next year. Now, coming back to the situation in Japan, we're not so much concerned about the projected decline in Japanese car production that you referred to, because the purpose of our new joint venture is to improve our positioning and with Japanese OEMs. And since we're starting from a very small base, there is more chances to gain volumes and to gain in our positioning than to be impacted by the decline.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much.
Again, as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And we'll take our next question from Jan van den Bosche from Petercam. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions from my side, both on energy materials. First of all, on RBM, Mark, I recall that you talked earlier about doubling the sales in rechargeable battery materials. Is that still something you would feel comfortable about for this year, or would you feel less less confident in repeating that given erratic order patterns given that it's still an emerging industry? And then secondly, overall in energy materials, we've seen a nice pickup from the top line in energy materials in third quarter versus the first half development. Could you maybe qualify a little bit more? I have the impression it is due to the cobalt recycling business, but maybe you could add some color to that good performance in the third quarter in energy materials. Thanks.
Okay, so first of all, the statement about doubling the sales in RBM this year compared to 2011. If you give or take a few percentage points, yes, we'll be close to that. Difficult to confirm at 100% because indeed of the erratic ordering patterns that we're seeing. So, but the picture is more or less unchanged compared to what I said a few months ago. Indeed. Then the pickup in the top line is, to the largest extent, driven by the increase in sales volumes in rechargeable battery materials, as was also mentioned in the press release, and to a far more limited extent to the increased recycling activity in cobalt and specialty materials, and particularly the recycling of secondary materials containing cobalt and or nickel. Now, the pickup in the top line is one thing. As I mentioned during my introductory remarks, the profitability in energy materials is not moving in the same direction, and in particular because we have a fairly significant downturn in electro-optic materials and in thin film products that is hurting the bottom line, and we have a little bit of a leverage effect there with the downturn in demand for the products that I mentioned, the targets, the substrates, the optical blanks, etc., and given the kind of fixed costs that we have in these businesses, we see now a material effect on the bottom line, I'm afraid.
Okay, very clear. Thanks, Mark.
We'll take a follow-up question from Rianne O'Connor from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my question again. Forgive me for this. I know I and others find recycling a difficult division to forecast. But looking at 2013, next year, assuming that industrial metal prices stay roughly around the level they were this year, where is the growth coming from? Because you're not going to particularly see a growth in volumes. Pricing is already hedged in, let's say, at a similar price. Mix effect shouldn't necessarily be any more favorable. So where will recycling growth come from next year?
As I, Rianne, as I've mentioned on previous occasions, growth in recycling is not linear. I mean, it's not linear in other units either. But it's not linear because it requires quite a few investments to be made in order to be able to seize new opportunities. And in particular, you know that we are working at full capacity and are working on a number of investment projects to expand the existing capacity to a certain degree. And so you should, I would say, take into account that it takes a little bit of time to get that capacity on stream, and indeed there is no significant growth factor that I would see in terms of volume for that is that will be already in place for next year, because as I mentioned earlier, the investment that we're doing now in Hoboken in particular to expand the existing capacity, like the new assaying, the new water treatment facility, changing some or expanding some of the utilities, etc., will bring us to 2014. And the same is valid for the investments that we have just announced in silver recycling capabilities in Germany. I mean, construction has yet to start, so it will take a little bit of time before we can indeed grab more volumes and translate indeed the investments in capacity into additional revenues and bottom line.
And will there be an impact? There was a major shutdown earlier this year in Hoboken. Will there be an impact of that shutdown not being there this year, or, sorry, 2013?
Too early to tell. We're working on the planning as we speak, and it's going to be, again, a combination of maintenance operations and investment works that will dictate the planning of a shutdown.
Okay, thank you very much.
And we'll take our next question from Rakesh Patel from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
It's actually Richard Logan from Goldman Sachs. Just a question with regards to the comment that you made with regards to the mix between diesel and petrol vehicles in Europe. What are your longer term expectations? I mean, is this an ongoing theme that we should expect out over the next several years? And also, if you're able to give any sort of indication as to the sensitivity of implications of that on your profitability. So that's the first question. And then the second question was just in terms of contracts progression in the heavy-duty diesel area, if you're able to give us a bit of an update there as to how things have moved during the third quarter. Thanks.
Richard, it's difficult to give you, I would say, an answer on whether the diesel penetration will continue to change in the longer run. I have a view on that, but you should take it for what it's worth. I think that there is a floor to diesel penetration, to diesel market share, because that is driven by CO2 regulations in Europe. So diesel market share cannot decrease below a certain level, because otherwise a number of OEMs, of European OEMs, will have a hard time meeting the CO2 regulations of 130 grams of CO2 per kilometer as an average for the fleet, moving into 95 grams by 2020. So I guess that the diesel will need to continue to be present in the mix in fairly significant proportions in order to strike that delicate balance in reaching the CO2 regulations. So I'm not, in the long term, I am not so much concerned about diesel market shares. In the short term, we have seen in the past and will continue to see fluctuations up and down, up or down, of diesel versus gasoline market shares, and unfortunately those are very hard to predict. Sensitivity, I'm not going to be able to provide you with any detail. We're not providing indication as to the margin differential between diesel and gasoline. Auto cat applications, suffice to say that diesel indeed requires on average more complex systems with a higher value added, and that the impact is not insignificant to us indeed. Coming to your second question about HDD, we continue to make progress. As I mentioned in the previous discussion, the focus these days is on building the production capacity to meet the start of production deadlines that we have, in particular in Europe, given the contracts that we have secured. And while the focus is on execution these days, I'm happy to report that even in the third quarter, we continued to make headways in terms of commercial positioning, and that we secured certain new contracts indeed.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
We'll take our next question from Wim Hoste from KBC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Wim Hoste. Couple of questions on recycling. You indicated that you had already pretty good lock-in for 2013 on, I think, the hedgeable precious metals. Could you maybe elaborate where you already have started on 2014 lock-ins and what the level of lock-ins for that year is? Secondly, on the competitive environment in electronic scrap recycling, is that increased competition mainly coming from Boliden, or have other players entered the market or increased presence? And then thirdly, could you maybe on the pilot plant in recycling already share with us some first test results? Thanks.
Okay, let me start with the easy one. That's the third question. The answer is no. And sorry about that, Wim, but I guess you had expected that one. No, it's too early, and we'll probably need to wait until we have completed more test programs in order to indicate in which direction we will be going. The hedges for 2014, we have very little hedges in place for 2014. As we speak, the hedges that have been implemented have covered mostly 2013 so far. And e-scrap competition, there is increased competition from some of the established European players that have recently expanded their processing capacity for electronic scrap. We see also continued competition from other processors. I wouldn't call them recyclers, but other processors in other regions, in Asia or in Africa, where quite a bit of e-scrap that is generated in Europe or in North America is being exported to. So competition is there. This being said, as I've mentioned a few times in the past, there is more e-scrap to be processed than there is proper recycling capacity, so this is not so much of a concern in terms of the market dynamics. So there is room for more capacity, and our concern, as you know from our previous discussions, is more on the existence or lack the existence of a level playing field in terms of environmental and health standards as it comes to electronic scrap recycling, more than capacity.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
Okay, so at this stage, I would like to close then the conference call, and thank you for your participation. And of course, as usual, if you have additional questions, I would invite you to get in touch with our investor relations team. They will be happy to address your questions and channel them to the right people in the organization when it comes to more technically challenging questions. So thank you once again, and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.